Hello, my lovelies, and welcome to another episode of Mama Needs a Monster. Today's kind of going to be another special episode, as for it's going to be pretty much all story times. So, buckle in, my babies, because it's about to get started. So, these stories are kind of going to be crazy things that I've seen, crazy things that have gone down, because a really crazy thing just happened literally like less than an hour ago. So, I'm going to give you a couple of little crazy stories and then what just happened. So, if you want to know what just happened to me, please stay tuned. Alright, so this first story, I'm going to throw it all the way back to when I was just a teeny tiny fetus mama, before I was even a mama, before I even thought about being a mama. I was a either 15 or 16 year old girl, and I used to walk home from school every day. And, you know, walking home from school, I'd see a lot of cars, but this day in particular, I encountered kind of a weird car, or a weird driver, I should say. Essentially what had happened is I walked out the back gate of the school, because that's the way I had to go to get home, and as I'm walking out the back gate, I noticed this man getting into his car. I kind of got like a weird vibe from it, but didn't think anything of it, because at the back of my school is a park, and a lot of people would park on the road, because the parking lot of the park is very small. So again, like I said, I didn't think anything of it. Man just getting in his car. All I remember is that it was a black Honda, and the man got in and he drove away. And I'm walking, and as I'm walking, I start noticing as he drives, he turns down a little side road for a while and then comes back out on the main road, which I'm walking on, and starts going really slow, almost like he's keeping pace with me in a way. And the weird vibe comes back, because I'm like, that's not normal. The you know, the speed limit was, it's kind of a residential area, but also kind of busy, so the speed limit there was about 35 where he was at, and 35 is not a walking pace. Like, if you're on your human legs, you're not going to go 35 miles an hour, not even running. Okay, so I thought that was super strange, and we finally get up to the intersection, the big main intersection. There's a street in the town called Briggsmore, and it's a very large, very, very, very busy road that goes all the way through the town. And as I get up to the intersection, I'm waiting at the crosswalk to go, and all of a sudden I see this man get out of his car, and he starts yelling, "Hey, hey," and I'm looking around thinking, please God, be someone else out here that he's yelling at. And then I realized there's no one else out there. He was yelling at me. So I finally look over, and I shouldn't have looked. I should have just ignored him, but I looked over, and he said, "Do you need a boyfriend?" And I said, "No." And he said, "How old are you? Do you need a boyfriend?" And I said, "No." And he said, "How old are you?" And I said, "I'm 14. And just at that second, the crosswalk lit up for me to go. The one thing I learned from this is, one, I shouldn't have answered the "how old are you" question. I should have just ignored it completely. Even though I did lie and say that I was younger than I was, I should not have said anything. Nothing. But luckily, once I got across the crosswalk, since he was stopped at a red, he couldn't go anywhere. And there was little side roads that could take me home, but I literally ran those little side roads, every single one, and did not stop running until I got to my front door. And once I got to my front door, I shut and locked everything up, and yeah, it was pretty crazy, pretty creepy, pretty scary. Moral of the story is, if you're out walking, no matter how old you are, and no matter who you are, man, woman, child, anything, if you're out walking somewhere alone, keep note of your surroundings. Keep note of anything strange that you notice, like the man in his car. If something gives you a strange feeling, pay attention. And two, if it's a person, do your best to, one, if they ask you personal questions like how old you are or where you're going or if you need a ride or any of that stuff, do not answer them. Do not engage and get away from them as quickly as possible. Get to safety as quickly as possible. That's the moral of that story. And I hope you can heed that warning, because if I didn't at least do the second part where I got away from him as quickly as possible and got to safety as quickly as possible, I probably wouldn't be here. So there's that. Involves, I used to go out around at nighttime a lot, walking around because I couldn't sleep, I was bored. The place I was living at wasn't the best or the safest, so I felt safer out walking around by myself at night. Well, not really by myself, I usually had a friend with me. In this story, the friend's name is C, and C and I used to go out walking around at night because the place he lived at also was not the best and not the safest. And so him and I used to go walk around at night and just talk and vent about where we lived, the people we lived with, things like that. And there was one night in particular, it was about 3 or 4 in the morning. We'd been to this place called Food Max that was open 24/7. We would go there quite a bit because near it was a gas station that had like a microwave, and we could get top ramen for like 29 cents, and they'd let us cook it there and everything in the microwave. And we could use the bathroom at the Food Max, we could read magazines, we could basically just waste a bunch of time, maybe get other snacks and a soda and things like that for way cheaper than at the gas station. So we used to just go there a lot. We had been there to use the bathroom, and I think we got like a soda, I don't remember, but we were on our way back and we crossed the main major road. Again, it was Briggsmore right there, the one that I just talked about. And as we cross, there's another shopping center across the street from where Food Max is. The nightclub isn't there now, it's something else, but at the time it was a nightclub. There was a group of people getting into their car, and a man getting into his car. They all knew each other, and the man pulled out, and as he pulled out, he almost hit us. We were in the walkway as you cross, like, to get past the driveway of the shopping center, and he literally almost hit us going, like, super fast. And right after he did that, I said, he's going to cause an accident. Right after I said that, we hear a big slam. We watch his car literally spin across all four lanes of Briggsmore and land in the bushes right up next to the Starbucks drive-thru. And C and I just went running over there to see what's happening. And as we were running across the road, this man runs past us. Blood was coming all down his face. And we were just like, what the heck? Like, we know he hit another car, so where did the car go? Not long after that, we hear a woman screaming. We look over at the Food Max parking lot. She's in the Food Max parking lot. She's in the back seat doing something, and that's when we realize she had a kid in her car. This man hit a woman with a child in her car because he, honestly, I believe he was drunk. He was drunk driving. That's why he almost hit us and then hit her car. Immediately, we're looking at the car, we're looking inside the car, his keys and everything are in the car. We didn't touch anything, we were kind of scared, so we backed off, and I said, well, should we leave, what should we do? And so Chris and I decided to go hide in the shopping center in the bushes. This is, again, is another, a third shopping center on one of the corners of the intersection there at Briggsmore, going up onto the freeway, and we're just like, oh my god. So we're sitting in the bushes, and I told C, like, has anyone called the cops? Like, what's going on? Do you want to talk to the cops if the cops come? And he's like, no, I don't want to talk to cops. Do you want to talk to cops? And I was like, no, I really don't, but I want to see what's going to happen. So we're sitting there, and as we're sitting there in the bushes, just kind of like being like, oh my god, did you see how insane that was? And blah, 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 he almost hit us. And oh my god, didn't I just say blah, 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 you know? Three giant SUVs full of men. Large men, and you could tell these people were like gangbanger types because they all looked super angry. They all looked, and as they came right up on the bushes we were in, I don't think they saw us because none of them made any acknowledgement towards us whatsoever. But as soon as they did, they pulled up, surrounded his car, all of them hopped out, and I don't know what happened, because C and I, as soon as we saw them surrounding his car and hopping out of their SUVs, we took off running because we were scared. And so, yeah, I really don't know what happened with that. I didn't watch the news afterwards or pay much attention, but I'm pretty sure that guy, if the gangbangers found him, probably got brutalized or even probably murdered for injuring one of their kids or their girlfriend's kid or something. So that was a pretty crazy night. Again, this next one involves me and C going out walking around at night. Don't worry, it has nothing to do with, like, people being weird to me while we were out walking, or, like, okay, well, it's still a car accident, but, like, not crazy like that one, like, crazy in a different way. So we go up, and again, it's on Briggsmore, and it happened in the same intersection, actually, that the first story happened in. So, college in Briggsmore. If you're from my town, you'll know exactly where I'm talking about. We're in the middle of Briggsmore. It's kind of like a divided road. So on one side of the canal, it goes one way, and on the other side of the canal, it goes another way. And we kind of walked up the middle in the canal bank all the way up to where Food Max was from college in Briggsmore. We had just been there. We honestly literally went in Food Max, used the bathroom, and bought a soda, and then walked back. And we get up to this, and we, like I said, hadn't even been an hour. It hadn't even been an hour, you guys, and there was a car completely smashed, completely obliterated, smashed in the middle of the intersection, and then another car that was completely flipped on its top in the middle of an intersection. It was nuts, and we kind of stood there for a minute and watched because there was tons of ambulances, fire trucks, cops, just tons of, like, first responders everywhere, which, by the way, if you're a first responder, thank you so much, especially now, for everything that you're doing, and doctors too. But yeah, and I at the time used to do vlogging, a lot of vlogging. I still do a lot of vlogging, but at the time did a lot of vlogging, and I had a video camera, and I asked C, do you think we should video this? And he's like, no, that would be, like, too weird. But we stood there and watched for a while, and then decided to go back up further away to a different intersection and just, like, kind of go around it, because there was no way to, like, get past it without walking through the whole thing, and we really didn't want to do that. So yeah. See, like I said, not as crazy. I guess you kind of had to be there to see how insane that was, especially since we hadn't even been gone for an hour or even half an hour, to be honest. But it shows you how something so major can happen in such a short amount of time, in like a split second, something like that can happen, and, you know, it's nuts. So for my next crazy story, this one actually happened on 4th of July, and I watched it go down right from my job. I had a front row seat because I was first register. I could see right out the windows, right out the doors. So the town I live in now, this didn't actually happen in my hometown, the town I live in now has a really busy kind of downtown area, and the grocery store I worked in was downtown, or kind of like on the edge of downtown. A guy came whipping in real quick with cops on his tail, and as he whipped in, there's a wall, because it's at the side of a hill, kind of, with a brick wall on the side. He whipped into a parking spot so fast, he hit the brick wall head on, and we watched cops surround his car, pull him and his girlfriend out, handcuff them, sit them down on the side of the parking lot, search his car, go through all the stuff. Afterwards, girlfriend came in crying, asking to use a phone. basically everyone I worked with said no because she used to work there, and I guess she was like a thief and she was like a tweak, and so everybody's like, no, don't let her use your phone. So then I said, no, there's no phones you can use here. She then proceeded to go to the back of the store where the bathroom is and go to the bathroom, and so we'd have a bunch of people follow her to the bathroom because they didn't want her. Again, like I said, they thought she was going to steal. Finally, they get her outside. She waits and her ride picks her up. So basically what I watched go down is this man was driving erratically. Turns out he was drunk. They were pulling him over for a DWI. Instead of pulling over immediately, he decided to run until he got to our parking lot, where he whipped in, hit the wall. They searched his car, found a bunch of weapons. So he gets arrested. Crying girlfriend literally, I guess, had no idea what to do. So she just came in the store, I guess, looking for a phone, looking for something, freaking out. And, yeah, it was weird. And it was on 4th of July when that happened. I also saw someone get hit by a car, but then when the cops showed up, they just got up and, like, rode off on their bike, because I guess they had warrants and didn't want to get arrested. So this is the thing that actually happened today, and then I have one more story that's going to be like my finale story, only because it's like a lot longer than this story. So here we go. Today was a kind of normal, pretty normal day for when I go down to visit my grandparents. I did stay the night there last night, which I typically don't do, but it was a rough night, long day, kind of had a rough, bumpy start to trying to pack up the car and get home. But eventually it happened, and I'm on my way home. Everything's normal, everything's great, until I get to the road that I would drive down to get to my apartment complex. As I'm coming up on the last light and last major intersection before driving up towards my house, I noticed that across the intersection there's kind of this SUV or pickup. It was a pickup with a camper shell, but like an SUV kind of also, you know what I mean? And he was just like swerving in and out of this like turn lane and like a bunch of other weird stuff. So to get to my house, there's like a little bit of a merge lane, and I had to merge past him and get up to my house. Literally, I get up to my house, pull up, get Lex out of the car, take her upstairs to put her in her bed. When I come back out to get Max out of the car and take him into the house and up to his bed, I hear cops on a loudspeaker saying, exit your vehicle slowly with your hands up. And then I hear a bunch of people yelling, I hear cops yelling directions, I hear random screaming, I hear tons of sirens. And then out of nowhere, I hear people yell, don't shoot at us, don't shoot at us. So I was already unbuckling Max, I just grabbed him out of the car as quick as I could, and I ran in my house. And I'm like, crap, because now my purse is out there. So I go back out, and I still hear it. What was a woman, like, screaming and crying, and I hear a cop yelling directions at her. So my apartment, where I'm at, is I'm kind of on a hill, so I can't see this all. It's down the hill from me, like, on the other side of the hill, on the bottom. But I can hear them, and it's, like, freaking me out, because the don't shoot at us thing makes me think that there's people out there that have guns. So I'm like, crap. So I grab my purse, and I grab my phone, and I grabbed whatever other little quick things I needed, and I still hear the sirens, I still hear the screaming, I run back in my house, and now I'm too freaked out to go get the rest of the stuff out of my car that I need to go get because of this. So, I really don't know. My stuff's probably going to sit in my car until the morning, because I don't want to go out there in the dark after that. But you have to understand why this is so freaky and creepy for our area. Is I live in a really, really small town up in the mountains. Besides the DUI thing where the guy had like weapons and stuff in his car, it's a small town in the mountains. People out here go hunting. So him having weapons in his car wasn't that scary. It was just kind of like, oh, maybe he went hunting and forgot they were in there or whatever. But like,
stuff like that where there's like car chases and people getting, you know, majorly arrested, like stuff like that doesn't happen here usually. So that's what, and stuff like that usually never happens that close to my house, except for in the next story, which if you've stayed tuned, thank you so much for doing so. I'm gonna go ahead and get on to the next story now. Full story of what happened, let me give you a little bit of a quick rundown of kind of what led up to this point. So imagine, if you will, the most tweakeriest flop house ever. That was the house I lived in. The house that this happened at happened to be the house across the street from my house. You know, there are some people who have messy homes, and then there's like, you walk up to the front yard, and from the front yard, like 10 feet away, you can smell the dog piss and shit in their house because they never fucking clean. That's the house I'm talking about. Now, imagine a family that lives there that don't talk to nobody, even though they sit on their front porch chain smoking cigarettes all day freaking long because nobody has a job. Everybody's on welfare and like they have 5 million kids running around. That's the type of house this happened in. Anyways, now imagine if those two houses joined forces and then promptly got into a giant all-out war. That's kind of what led up to this point. So now that you have the quick little rundown of what's going on, I shall get started with the story. So throw it back to March of 2014. R and her fiancé decide to take a trip with all their 5 million babies and L and a couple of other people to Vegas to get married. Awesome. Let him go get married. I was supposed to go and do like hair and makeup on that trip, but I backed out because I was scared because of all the tweaks and the 5 million babies, and I didn't want to be stuck with the 5 million babies by myself because I knew that's probably what would end up happening, and so I was just like, nah. Anyways, they go, they get married, they come home, everything kind of stays as it is for a while, and then about a month or so later, all the tweaks that were at the tweaky flop house that I lived in started flopping over at R's house, essentially leading to her husband separating from her, a bunch of their kids getting removed, so all that's left now is the 12-year-old. So it's R, her 12-year-old, which we used to call 12-year-old hooker because she kind of dressed like a 12-year-old hooker, which was really gross, and I don't understand why some people let their kids do that, but okay. Anyways, our 12-year-old hooker and the tweaks are all in this house. Husband separates from her, moves out, power goes out, water goes out, everything goes out, yet all the tweaks are still there, and so is R and her 12-year-old. There comes a point where R's soon-to-be ex-husband pulls up with his son, him and his teenage son and his younger son. They all go in the house and start removing stuff. Soon, his ex-wife shows up and she's pissed. So she starts threatening R and she starts threatening the younger son, which is R's son also. So then R gets mad, gets in this huge fist fight with her husband in front of their house, in front of all the neighbors, over, you're gonna let her threaten me and threaten our son because we're still married and this is your son also, and blah blah blah, all that crap. Well, soon all the tweakers get involved, and soon R's tweaker boyfriend, which is why they got separated because she had a tweaker boyfriend, steps in and starts fist fighting the husband, and it's an all-out brawl in their yard. It was insane. After that happens, for a couple of months, it's just R and the tweaks and the 12-year-old hooker, until 12-year-old hooker finally gets removed after the yard brawl. And so now it's just R and the tweaks, no power, no running water, no anything. And so finally the people who own the house come by and give a 30 days notice that these people have to be out. All of these people have to be out. And during that 30 days, they rip apart the walls, remove copper wire, they just completely trash this house. These poor people who own the house, I feel so bad for them, but they completely removed different parts of the walls, all the copper wire, it's trashed. And finally, R leaves, and all that's left is the Tweaks, who keep destroying the house. So finally, one day we realize everybody thought R had left. R had not left. The people who own the house call the cops to get everyone out because the 30 days had been up. Cops show up, and I'm not kidding you, over the loudspeaker, they first announce to everyone in the house to come out. Nobody comes out. They go into full-on raid mode. I'm talking SWAT team. I'm talking, like, people going in there looking for drugs. I'm talking dogs. Like, I'm not joking, you guys. It was insane to watch. And everybody's standing in their yards watching, including us. And then out of nowhere, a girl named Megan comes running in my bedroom, which I've never seen this girl before or after, so I don't know where the hell she came from. But she's claiming to be R's niece, and she just wants to see what's happening. And she's standing in her room sobbing, crying, watching this all go down with me, because I'm in my room, everyone else is out in the yard, and I'm just sitting there like, what the fuck is happening right now? So we're watching, and then finally cops get on the loudspeaker, make the announcement for everyone to go back in their house. So they go back in their house, they finally catch like 4 or 5 different people that were living there, arrest them all, arrest R, who, by the way, when she came out was naked. That's also not a joke, she really was. And I'm like, holy hell, what the fuck? So anyways, finally everybody's arrested, everyone's hauled away, and within a week all the Tweaks are back in the house. They essentially got raided because they were selling drugs out of the house. The people who owned it found out, set up a raid on the house, and within a week a lot of the Tweaks who were released and let out came back, along with new Tweaks who kind of just moved in because it was an empty house. And finally, about another month or so goes by, and cops show up again, this time kicking everyone out of the house, and the owners are there, they're going through assessing damage and all that. And after all that happened, the story does have a happy ending. This is much later, I believe, about a year after the whole she went to Vegas and got married thing. I am now living in a different town, and in a much safer area, in a much safer house, and I'm working at Burger King, and all of a sudden this lady comes in, and I'm like, oh god, it's R, and I'm like, crap, like, I really don't want to talk to her. But the good thing is she showed me that she had both her kids back. And her husband was still with her, surprisingly. He came back after all that. I would not have, but, you know. And then later, she tried to add me on Facebook. I honestly did not accept the request just because everything I knew about her from before was, like, just messy and disgusting, and I wanted nothing to do with it. So, but yeah, I did wind up going through her Facebook, and it looked like her and her husband and her kids, they were all living in a nicer area, safer area. She seemed to have cleaned up and gotten off drugs. Her husband seemed to have cleaned up. She had a job. So a happy ending for all of them. They got to go off and live happily ever after. So like I said, happy ending. So if you like this little story time episode, I'm thinking of doing more because I have a lot of stories, and I feel like it would maybe put some good into the world, maybe just a little bit. Anyways, with that being said, I love you, and if we ever cross paths, I will buy you tacos and touch your butts. See you later, my beautiful little pineapples.